So as we've traveled around to churches all over the country and parts of the world, we have found that a lot of people are turned off and they don't even know it. Or, you know, you just can't hear what it is that you see. So if it's a worldwide problem, maybe we should talk about it. Well, hello, everybody. This is Steve from the team at Music and Ministry. And here today, we're going to start a mini series. It might be a maxi series. We'll see how it goes. But we're going to talk about how to not get turned down. Because like I said in the intro, we have traveled to hundreds of churches in all across the states in the United States here and to parts of the world. And you end up having this interesting phenomenon where you can't hear what it is that you see. And so you'll see players up there just pouring their heart out to Jesus, playing stuff, but yet it's not making it through the sound system. And there are a lot of reasons why that would be, and we're going to talk through quite a few of them. And so I just want to preface this by saying, here at Music and Ministry, we like to keep the main thing the main thing. And when it comes to worshiping Jesus, you don't have to get the sound right, and you don't have to have all these other things that we're going to talk about figured out, because God still moves, and the presence of the Lord can come and all those things. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to lead people into his presence, lead people to worship. But sometimes it's nice to have it sound good too. And if you're going to spend a lot of time working and developing a team and practicing, it would be nice to be able to hear those people. Otherwise, you're potentially wasting their time. And I only know this because it happened to me. I was on a worship team for quite a long time, thinking that I was the integral part of it all, that I was the glue that was holding it together. And then one day I was having a guitar lesson with one of my students, and I was saying, well, this is kind of what I play, you know, on Sunday. And he said, well, we can't ever hear you. And I was so shocked. I would pay to have a picture of what my face looked at that moment, because I, again, thought I was the central part, the glue that was keeping it together. And if I wasn't playing, then how was anything working? But in reality, I was off at the soundboard and did not know it. And that really threw me for a long time. I actually stepped down from the worship team because at the time we had young kids and I had been giving up time with them and was committing to being part of this worship team, was practicing, was doing all those things, and it turned out that none of it mattered. Now, there's a lot of reasons why that happened. And again, we're going to talk through a bunch of those. And part of it was my fault. Part of it was some other stuff. But yeah, it happens. It is happening. And this is true at churches big and mega churches that I could name names and you would know who they are. I've seen it happen where the drummer's doing something and then all of a sudden, no, they get turned down and they may or may not get turned back, or you can't hear this person, can't hear that person, and all the way down to the smallest of small churches. So it's a pretty common issue, and it's something I feel like the Lord's given me wisdom and revelation about, and hopefully something in what we're going to talk about will help you in your situation. And one of the biggest things is that you may not even be aware that it's happening to you, just like I was completely unaware. How would you know unless somebody tells you? Because of the way that we monitor, because of how the systems work, we can sometimes think that, like I did, that I'm doing such a great job and such a great part of this team, but it turns out I wasn't even on the team that I was on. And I'll let that sink in for just a minute. And it happens all the time. And the thing about it is that you would think, oh, I would be able to tell, but you can't tell. I couldn't tell. I've had people argue with me, then say, no, I would be able to tell if you turned me off. But I know that I turned them off and do regularly turn them off and was trying to have a nice conversation with them, but they were in complete denial about it. So step one is going to be asking some people, hey, can you even hear me on Sunday? And don't be offended and don't be surprised if the answer is no, we can't really hear you. Again, part of it are some things that maybe you're doing. Part of it is how the system of things work. And part of it is just could be the nature of things if you have a bunch of people or whatever it would be. We're going to cover all of that in future editions of this podcast, or whatever you want to call this thing, wherever it is that you're listening to. All right, so today we're going to talk about what gets you turned down. And there's three things that you need to do in order to have good sound. And you can think of it kind of as a three-legged stool or a tripod. I actually have my tripod right here as a visual example. And so you need all three of these working in combination. If you don't have one of these three or one of them is weaker, then you will get turned down at the soundboard. And they probably won't tell you why, because they don't want to deal with your attitude or conflict or don't know how to help you. That often happens as well. So there's three things. The first one is going to be playing the right part. And the right part means that you're playing what was written or things that work well together. And if you play something that's not that, then sometimes it doesn't work and you think it's awesome and yet you get turned down. The second thing is going to be playing that right part at the right time. So if you're playing the verse when you're supposed to be playing the chorus, well, it's the right part for the verse, but you're on the chorus and you need to be playing something different. That could also mean that you're playing a different thing than what was written and it's out of sync, or it could be like you're slightly behind or you're slightly ahead. Anytime that there's something wrong there, another reason why you're going to get turned down at the soundboard. The third reason is if you have to have the right sound. So the right part at the right time with the right sound. And so it could be that maybe you're slightly out of tune, could be that maybe you're playing something too loudly, it's just not working, maybe you have the wrong patch on your electric guitar, whatever it would happen to be, or you don't know how your keyboard works, it's not the right sound. So when you have the right part at the right time with the right sound, most of the time you're going to be able to be heard. And I say most of the time, because sometimes it's just too full, and we'll talk about that again in a minute. And I'm foreshadowing all these things that we'll talk about in the future just to keep you to come back and stay with us, because I believe it will help your life. So again, it's like a tripod, like a three-legged stool. You've got all this stuff, and if you've got one that's way, you're playing, you've got great sounds, but you're playing the wrong parts, well, it's going to fall over. And you can't be very stable, and you wouldn't want to put any kind of a weight. You wouldn't want to put anything of value on this because it's going to fall over, right? And so you got to make sure that all those three things are working together. And most people will get two out of the three. Some people only get one. But you have to know whether or not those things are working. And so as we move forward, there are five things that we will talk about that will keep you from knowing or being able to do what is the right part, the right time, with the right sound. And so there's a lot of lists here in this beginning episode, but again, we're going to keep you coming back for more because we're going to go through all of these in details today. I'm just going to give them to you. The first one is going to be pride. And it is by far the number one issue that most worship leaders and worship team members are dealing with. And that is because we as humans and musicians have this thing where everybody plays what they think sounds good. And it took me a long time to figure that out, because I would tell somebody, hey, this doesn't sound so great. And then I would get a lot of people offended at me. And I'm like, why are you offended? Like, do you not know that that's not working? And the answer is no. They did not know that it was not working because they thought it sounded amazing. And that's what most people are doing, is they're playing things that they think work. Because if they didn't think that it worked, they would probably not do it. And so pride also says that, hey, I'm pretty awesome, so I don't need to get any better. And so we've traveled to so many churches to do conferences and do sessions where we're coaching and teaching and training. And then some people don't show up. And usually it's the best musicians, because who does this guy think he is? And I don't know who he is. And what's he going to tell me that I don't already know? I'm going to go do something else. All right. Pride keeps people from getting better, and it has its implication. And the rest of the list, which will now go to number two, which is going to be ignorance. Ignorance is well-meaning. It just means I don't know how to do it. And I've been there. Like, I have my guitar and I'm watching the video and trying to replicate. I don't know how to play the guitar like that. And so I have to figure out, how am I going to get there? I need somebody to teach me. I need somebody to show me, because at the end of the day, I don't know what I don't know. And that's what ignorance is. All right. The third one is going to be bad systems. And we're going to talk about that as we dive into our practical example of the day. A bad system is something that you're doing that makes a good musician make bad choices in one of those three areas, where you can't tell what the right part is, or you can't tell what the time is, and you can't tell that you're making a bad sound. And so there's a lot of those, and we'll dive real deep into those ones here in the beginning of our Maxa series or mini series, depending on what it is, and then we'll dive into some instrument-specific stuff. But the fourth one is going to be kind of random to you, and that is deception. And so there is, unfortunately, quite a bit of deception that happens in the worship community, usually well-meaning, but a lot of times we're following examples of things that have been faked. And so one thing that we'll just throw out there is like a bomb and then talk about it again later in the future is that live recordings are not real. They're not live. They've never been live. And so we think that they're live. And so then we're following this example. We think that they're obviously playing it, but then we also don't know that the front people and how they're responding is often faked. The crowd noise is faked. The crowd singing is faked. And why are we doing that? Well, it's because of the number one thing, which was pride, because live recordings sound terrible. And so when I tried to make live recordings and I listened to it and you're like, that does not sound as good as I'd like to sound. And so then you start turning to, okay, how do we make it sound as good as we'd like for it to sound? Now, for your average listener, that's well-meaning. Who cares? They made it sound good. That many would call that excellence. We're just trying to present the gospel with excellence. But for the rest of us who are trying to emulate what those people are doing, unaware, ignorant, number two, that's not real and that's not how it actually went, then we start to make a bunch of mistakes and we're trying to do something that never was real. How could we do it? It's not going to happen. They couldn't do it. Why do we think that we could do it as well? All right, so that's deception. All right, the number five reason is going to be current inability. And I say current inability because it is amazing how much better you can get if you practice. And then there are even at that some point limitations in our ability to have rhythm and human interaction. You know, like we can't play things as good as a computer. That's why we need the computer to fix some things. We'll go down that road as well some point in the future. But current inability, and there's also the ability that supernatural you can be given the ability to do something. And so for a long time, I couldn't sing harmony very well. I just couldn't hear the notes and had somebody pray for me. And then, you know what? I supernaturally was able to sing harmony much better. Now, can I sing it to the ability of other people that I know who are like, oh, it's this note, and then you sing the seventh, and I'll sing the fifth? Not even close. So I have a current inability in some of my harmony things. I have some current inabilities in some of my playing things. Now I can get better at those things if I work on them, but they are a limitation to me, all right? And then the number six one, how can there be so many? There's probably more than these six. The last one is going to be willingness, because at some point it just comes down to, I don't want to do that. All right, I'll give you an example. I was recently playing in an orchestra. My wife is the conductor and I'm playing the cello. It's like my seventh or eighth instrument I like playing, but we got into some music that I just didn't like. And I was like, this is beyond my ability. I'm a very beginner player. I don't want to play Mozart. I couldn't find the motivation to play Mozart. All right, so pride, it's fine. I know I'm not very good, so I'm not dealing with that. Two, ignorance. I know how to do it in the sense of like, these are the notes. I just have to put in the time to practice it. Three, bad systems. It works. It's an old system. Nothing wrong there. Four, I'm not being deceived that's how people have actually played this for decades, if not a century or more. And then five, you know, also not an issue. And so here we are at six, just being willingness. I don't want to do it. And so there comes a point where people are just like, look, we don't want to practice. We don't want to put in the time. Those things all factor into why it is that you can't get it figured out. Those three. So we went focused in. We're coming back up to those three, which is the right part at the right time with the right sound. And so at some point, you run into all six of those things and maybe some other ones that I didn't mention as why that doesn't happen. So let me give you an example and then we'll close it down for today. All right, so one of the things that most people get turned down for is going to be singing out of tune. And so you gotta ask yourself, okay, why are they singing off pitch? There's several reasons that could be, all right? Do they have a current inability? Can they sing on pitch? Well, let's test that, because it could also be number three, which is bad systems. And so whenever I encounter somebody who's singing off pitch, we take a moment and do a little test. And so we go over to an instrument, say the piano's over like that, or maybe you grab a guitar and you would just hit a particular note and you'd say, hey, boom, sing this note, boom. And then you can see, can they pitch match? Do they have the skill, the ability to pitch match outside of whatever system it is that you're using? All right, so take your inners out, get away from the monitor, whatever it would be, just all by yourself. Boop, sing this note and see if they can sing that note. Now, if they can't sing that note, that means they have a current inability and they may or may not, you know, really should be on the worship team. Maybe they're related to the pastor somehow, or fit some sort of other category of why you would have them on stage, which there are multiple things of why you would have people on stage that you couldn't hear. We're not talking about that today. But if they have the ability to pitch match, then you can move forward and know, okay, yeah, they can do that skill. And again, if they can't, maybe they should go help out in the nursery or use their gift in some other way, because if they can't sing on pitch, then let's turn them off, all right? So there's also multiple skills of why somebody might be turned off or be singing off pitch. Maybe they're trying to sing a harmony and, like me, aren't super great at singing harmonies. And so then you would say, hey, let's work on our harmonies. So you would play a note, boom, and you say, what, boom, why don't you sing this note? And then you sing that note while they sing that note and see if they can do it, if they can hold their own. Because if they can't hold their own, they may be able to pitch match, but they can't sing a harmony without somebody else. So then it opens up options and say, okay, if they can't sing harmony, but they can sing the melody, well, why don't you just always sing the melody? Don't try and sing something different. Or if you were like me when I was in choir, I would have to learn the harmony and pretend that it was the melody, and then I could do it no problem. It was just trying to improvise or come up with it or hear it without any kind of help. Now, if they also can pitch match but can't sing harmony, if there's somebody else who's singing the same harmony, then you would say, well, just pitch match John or Susan or whoever else is doing that harmony. And not random names that I'm picking out. You can fill in the blank with whoever's on your team. All right. So you're then walking down this checklist of, can they do it? Can they not do it? What skills do they have? Is that the problem? And if they pass all of those tests, which most people do, not everybody does, then you can say, okay, it's probably has something to do with how we're monitoring. All right, so either in-ears or there's something that's happening in your wedges or however it is that you're monitoring. Something that they're hearing is causing them to have problems. And that's because when we as humans can't hear our voice very well, we will naturally do whatever it takes to be able to hear ourselves. And we don't know that we're doing it, it's just something that happens. But it's part of why people sound terrible when they're singing along to headphones at loud volumes and they can't hear themselves. And if you've ever seen somebody or walked in on somebody who was doing that, you know what I'm talking about. It's awful. And so we will naturally either go sharp or flat, because that's how we're able to tell a difference or to recognize our voice amongst everything else that's happening. And again, the less that you can hear, the worse sometimes that it gets. So that means that if they can do all of the skills necessary outside of how you're monitoring, that means that there's probably something wrong with how they're monitoring. And that could be the physical, like speakers that they're listening to have some sort of problem, but usually it has to do with the mix, all right? Now, why is the mix not right? And that's because most churches have gotten to the point where they have individualized monitors that are controlled by the individual singer. Now, you got to ask yourself, does that individual singer have any training on how to mix monitors? Do they have any soundboard training? And the answer to that question almost always is no. No, they don't. We just let them do whatever they want, and the sound guy doesn't have to deal with, can I get a little bit more of that? Can I get a little bit more of this? We just give them an app, or they've got one of those little units, and they just kind of dial in whatever, and we let them do whatever they want and don't question it. Now, is that a good idea? And the answer is usually no. All right? Again, we got there because we didn't want to deal with the awkward interactions between the sound people, and we figured, they're musicians, they can figure it out. But most people make terrible mixes. And so they're putting extra things in there, or they try to make it like it would be that you would hear a recording. And yes, their voice is in there, but it's being masked by all these other things that are happening there. Or you've got a bunch of singers that are sharing the same mix. And so then they're all trying to hear themselves. And so then they get lost in everything that's happening. And then all of a sudden they start singing flat or sharp. So then you would have them put in their in-ears, put in the wedge, whatever it would be. Can you pitch match? Yes. All right. How about let's have these people play. Oh, all of a sudden they start singing sharp and flat. Ah, your mix is bad. So then you have somebody give them a training on how to mix their in-ears, or you have the sound person check in on their mixes. And so on a lot of soundboards, you can see what it is that's happening. They control through their app, but you can see on the board and you can listen and say, oh, okay, that's their mix. And then I can adjust their mix for them and see if that helps. All right, now it may freak them out and you would communicate a little bit about that. But if you're doing, you know, an Avion system or one of the P16s for all the Behringer stuff, then you have no control. So you would go and you would listen. You'd be like, oh, okay, let's fix this a little bit. Let me give you a few things and then see if that fixes the problem. When I do it, most of the time, that was the issue. All right, so that opens up a whole nother thing to talk about. How do we monitor? How is that working? We're going to dive into all of those things. But your assignments for this week, things to think about, is number one, you have to find out, am I actually a part of the team that I'm a part of? And the answer may be no. And so you got to ask people, hey, can you hear me on Sunday? Could you hear this? Could you hear that? And you might be surprised at the answer. All right. Or is there any point where I got turned down? And again, it might be you. All right. And not to create any fear here in the first episode, but let's get down to the bottom so we can actually fix the problem. All right, so the right part at the right time with the right sound, and we'll cover those a lot. We'll cover those six different reasons why you're not going to get any better at music, or why you might be struggling to know what the right part, the right sound is at the right time. And then this week, check your monitors and see how that's going. And if you have anybody that's singing off pitch, see if they can do the tests. Can you play it? Is it working when it's outside of that? And if they do have those skills, then it will recognize, hey, you've got a bad system. And we'll talk a lot about bad systems because there are a lot of problems with how we are doing things from top, big name things, all the way down to very small local churches. We're here to help Music and Ministry. Look us up on musicandministry.co on the website. We have also published quite a few books on worship leading that you can check out on Amazon and wherever else that sells our books, which at this point, I don't even know because there's so many. We just send them out to whoever will take them. All right. So that's all for today. Lord be with you. Bless you. Help you have a fantastic week. And until next time.